great musician named Niccolo Paganini. He's an Italian musician. And his main instrument was a violin. So what he did with his violin is that he willed it to his city named Genoa. He gave his violin to his city, Genoa, with one condition. And that condition was that his violin will never be played upon. So he gave it as an perhaps for their for them to be seen, but it will never be played upon. Now, that's an unfortunate condition because the peculiarity of the wood of the violin says that as long as it is being used, it will show little wear and tear. But because it was not played upon, what happened was that it became a worm-eaten wood inside a beautiful case. So in other words, it becomes useless. Useless. Now it's just a useless thing. It's valueless, except that it just became a relic. We can see the violin, but it can never, ever be played upon. So what's the lesson there? What I learned from that story was this. It's a reminder that a life, okay, a life withdrawn from all service to others loses its meaning. Let me repeat that. A life withdrawn from all services to others loses its meaning. So we need to understand that if you already profess your faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to the body of Christ. And because you belong to the body of Christ, you should use your spiritual gift or gifts. Because definitely a believer has a spiritual gift or gifts coming from the Lord. And you need to use that to serve the body of Christ. And when we talk about the body of Christ, it's a picture of unity. And when we talk about spiritual gifts, there is diversity. That is why our lesson this morning is this. When it comes to our service, especially in the body of Christ, in this local church, GCF Nuvali, is that there is unity in diversity. Okay? There you go. That's our lesson this morning. There is unity in diversity. So our passage will be taken in Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8. And the very reason why we preach this passage is I would like to encourage all of you, especially for the members of GCF Nuvali, to become volunteers here in our local church. For those of you who are interested to become a volunteer, I am encouraging you to become a member of GCF Nuvali and then become a volunteer in our church, in this local church. So may I invite all of you to please stand and open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8. Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. The Word of God says, "For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we are all here to give praise to you, to bless your holy name, and also, Lord God, to study your word. So, Father, I pray that may the Holy Spirit open our minds and our hearts to your word. Help us, Lord God, to understand your word, and more so, Lord, apply this. Help us, convict us, Lord God, to use our spiritual gift or gifts that comes from you, to use it to serve to the whole body of Christ and in this local church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Please be seated. In our first sermon, Save to Serve, we learned that we need to have a proper perspective when it comes to service. We learned that we are here, we are called to serve and not to be served. And our perfect example is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, He Himself said, I came to serve and not to be served, and to offer my life as a ransom for many. So there is service and sacrifice. And in every service, definitely, there will be a sacrifice on our part. And in our second sermon, based on Joshua chapter 24, we learned that we need to serve. We must serve with everything we've got. And based on Joshua, what does it mean to serve everything we've got? We need to serve God wholeheartedly. We need to serve Him and Him alone and no one else. And we need to serve together as one family. As one family, GCF Nuvali. It is not just for me and my household, but it is for me and the entire GCF Nuvali. We are here to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to serve. We must serve with everything we've got. And today we will learn that when it comes to service, there is unity in diversity. There is unity in diversity. But before we go to our passage, let me just give you a preview of the whole book of Romans so we can see the whole context of Romans and where we are in the book of Romans. Here's the chart of the book of Romans. The book of Romans, it talks about our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the righteousness of God revealed. And through that righteousness, we have seen the mercies of God. That is why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, in view of God's mercies, here's what you need to do. Because through the righteousness of God, we have seen His mercy, His grace, His love for us. In the prologue of the book of Romans, or in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, it talks about the Son, talks about the gospel, the person of the gospel, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And then from then, Paul moves on to sin. From Romans chapter 1, verse 18 up to chapter 3, verse 21, he now talks about the condemnation of man, that we are all condemned to die because of sin. But now he gives the solution to the problem. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22 up to chapter 5, he talks about salvation, or what we call justification. The Apostle Paul talks about how can we be justified, and that is through our faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and even the results of justification. So he talks about the Son, sin, salvation. Now moving on to chapter 6 up to chapter 8, he talks about sanctification and the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now that we are justified, we are saved, what are we going to do? Especially in chapter 6, remember the Apostle Paul said, shall we go on sin, continue in sin, that grace may abound? He said, by no means. Now that you are new in Christ, you should walk in the newness of life. That's Romans 6 to 8. Now, moving on to chapters 9 to 11, the Apostle Paul talks about the sovereignty of God over Israel and even over the Gentile nation. Now, in chapter 12 to 15, he is now talking about service. In chapter 16, salutation, different greetings from all the people that he knows. Okay? So, our passage lies in what we call service in Romans chapter 12. That's why in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, you will notice this is what the Apostle Paul said. Here's the immediate context of our passage. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Because through the righteousness of God, through Jesus Christ, we have seen mercies. Take note, it's plural. So it means the grace, the love, the mercy of God, we have seen it personified in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in view of God's mercies, what are we going to do? The Apostle Paul said to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, this is what is interesting here. The word worship here, it also means service. Literally, we can read this as your reasonable service to God. So moving on, he will now talk about our service. How can we serve God? And in the immediate passage of Romans 12, 3-8, he is now telling us that we need to serve God using our spiritual gift or gifts. So that is the section where we are right now, that we should serve the body of Christ using our gift or gifts that comes from the Lord. First, there is unity in diversity. First, look at what the Apostle Paul said, that we need to serve Him with humbleness or in humbleness. This is, should be our attitude. Look at what he said. For by grace, in verse 3, for by grace given to me. Given to me, they're referring to the Apostle Paul. Looking at the immediate context, Paul was now talking about the spiritual gifts, especially verses 6 to 8. Now, the word grace here, he's not talking about salvation, because it's true that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. But here in this context, the Apostle Paul was not talking about his salvation, but he was talking about the gift or his calling. Him being an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1 verse 1, he said in his salutation, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. So it's not a choice, but it's a calling coming from the Lord. And not only a calling, he said, he was called by the will of God. You will see that repeatedly in the book of Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and even in his pastoral letter to Timothy. He said he was called to be an apostle by the will of God, by the grace of God. It is all about God. It is not his choice. Because left to his own, we all know who the Apostle Paul is. His name before was Saul. He was a persecutor. So he said, I am not even worthy to be an apostle, and yet God called me. So the Apostle Paul recognized that his calling, it is by grace. He does not deserve. He is not deserving to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the Lord called him to be an apostle. And on this note, he is now exhorting the Roman believers when he said, now when it comes to your gifting, remember that it is also by grace. You also do not deserve all of these things. You do not deserve the gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit, and yet it was given to you by grace. That is why he said, I say to every one of you not to think of himself highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Not to think more highly, it's just one word in the original language, and it means to have an unwarranted pride in oneself or in one's accomplishment, or in other words, to be conceited, to be arrogant, to be proud. So what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here, we should not become conceited, to become arrogant when it comes to our giftedness. Paul was giving a lesson here, especially when it comes to the spiritual gifts. Why did he said that? Remember, he said, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Because the gift, it was only given by grace. So nothing to be bragged about if the Lord has given us a gift. And definitely, a believer has a gift or gifts coming from the Lord. And remember, it was given by grace. Our Lord, He is perfect. He did not commit a mistake when it comes to the distribution of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, for us, as a recipient of God's grace, remember, we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. We are not only saved by grace, but we are also sustained by God's grace. Now, when it comes to the spiritual gifts, remember that it is also by grace. It is also by grace. Let me share to you what I learned from Leon Morris as I studied this passage. He said, if we take this with full seriousness, seeing God as the sole author of the gifts and ourselves as totally dependent on Him for them all, referring to the gifts, it is unlikely that we will be arrogant. Now, listen to this, church. He said, humility proceeds from genuine faith. That's very important. Humility proceeds from genuine faith. There is another thought here. When we see that God is the giver of all the gifts, and that faith is the measure, then we will not deny our own gifts either. Being sober-minded means recognizing what God has given us and being zealous in its use as well as humble. there is unity in diversity. Let me share to you just what happened to me before, even before I became a pastor. When I began to read the theological books, not just devotional books, but theological books, I begin to recognize, and I also teach others during just a Bible study, but the problem there is that I begin to look at myself more highly than others. And I even look at myself more knowledgeable than other pastors. Because what happened there is that I did not recognize that it's a gift by grace, that I do not deserve it, because it was only gift. All those knowledge, all those the teaching ministry, it's just a gift coming from the Lord. Now I understand that I am not worthy. I am not even worthy to stand up here. And it is only by His grace. It is only by His grace. And when I realized that, it saddened me, especially when I see some of my friends, because I saw their posts, publicly post in their Facebook accounts on how they, sometimes they put down some reference Bible, because they say that they have a better study Bible, better Bible dictionaries and everything. I understand that they have the means to buy all those things, but it seems that they became conceited. They tend to forget that it's a gift by grace. All those knowledge and even your means to buy all of these things, all these resources, we need to recognize that it is by His grace. Now, I understand that because as I am pursuing higher education in theology, one thing that I learn is that the more I learn, the more I see that there are a lot of things to learn. And even all these resources that I have, I recognize that it is from the Lord. Because left to my own, I cannot even buy all those things. The Lord is just using people as a channel of His blessing in order for me to buy all of this stuff. So we need to recognize, church, that all of our gifting, our giftedness, it is by grace. It is only by grace. We need to be humble. We use our gift to serve in humbleness, with an attitude, with that posture of humility. Now, I remember a story that I heard from Edmund Chan at IDMC 2017. He said there were two Asians who attended a conference, one a Japanese and one a Malaysian. And because they were attending, both of them were Asian, the Malaysian approached the Japanese and he said to him, "Hey, we are same-same. You know what same-same is? Well, we Asian, we say that often. We are same-same. We are the same. Pareho tayo, Asian." Yeah? That's what he is trying to say to the Japanese. We are same-same and we are also going to the same place. Okay? So we need to stick together because we are same-same in a different country, in a foreign land. We are same-same and we are going to the same place, one conference. So they went there to the conference, they attended the conference, and by lunchtime, okay, the Japanese observed that he has a sandwich while the Malaysian had a drink, a water. And then he said, "Hey, since I don't have water, I have sandwich, here's half of my sandwich." And then the Malaysian said, "Okay, since I have water and you don't have water, I'll give you half of my water." So therefore, they said, "We need each other. We are same-same, going to a same place, therefore we need each other." And one lesson there is the same with believers. We are same-same, right? Hindi kayo payag. We are same-same because of Jesus Christ, because of our faith in the Lord. And we are going to the same place, one destiny, right? Ako lang yata, di ba? Kayo, paano na kayo? We are same-same going to one destiny, one place with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need each other. We need each other because we belong to one body. So we need to serve with that kind of mindset that we belong to one body. Now, can you tell it the person beside you? Okay? We are same-same. Right? Especially if you already profess your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are same-same. Okay, tell it. We are same-same, going to the same place. We need each other. We need each other. Because we are part of the body of Christ. Look at what the Apostle Paul said here. For as in one body, we have many members. Okay? One body, it's a picture of unity. Many members, diversity. So there is unity when it's in diversity. And members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Now we become part of the body of Christ through the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, if you are here and you know deep inside your heart that you do not yet have a relationship with Him, then therefore you do not belong to the body of Christ. And in order for you to belong to the body of Christ, you need to profess your faith in Christ and on His finished work. Remember in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, it says, there is no other name. Okay, there is no other name given under heaven by which man can be saved, but only the name of Jesus. And let me tell you this, that salvation is by grace alone. And in order for us to appropriate that grace, it says it's through faith. The means to appropriate that grace is through faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, believe in Jesus and on His finished work, and you will be saved. The Bible is clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That is why the Lord Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through Me. And the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is not by our works. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So the only way for you to belong to the body of Christ is only through faith in Christ. Believe in Him. Put your trust, your confidence on the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And my friend, I don't want you to miss this wonderful opportunity. If this is the cry of your heart right now, that you want to profess your faith, you want to have a relationship with God through Jesus, then I can just lead you, I can guide you in a prayer, but you need to pray this with all your heart. And I don't want you to miss this wonderful opportunity, because today is the day of salvation for you, my friend. Shall we all bow down our heads? And my friend, you can pray this prayer with all your heart. Lord Jesus, beginning today, I ask You to become the Lord of my life. I believe that You died on the cross to pay for my sins. I confess that I am a sinner, and I repent of my sins. Thank You for forgiving me and cleansing me from all my unrighteousness. Thank You for the gift of eternal life. Help me, Lord, to live a life pleasing to You. In Your name I pray, amen and amen. Now for us who already profess our faith on the finished work of Christ, it means that we now belong to the body of Christ. Remember, one body, different members. Okay? So the lesson, there is unity in diversity. Now when it comes to unity, let me just give you this picture, because I just saw a movie entitled Seven Sundays. Have you watched Seven Sundays? Hindi pa, di ba? So ito yung... spoiler, di ba? Here's the spoiler. May mga, ako, parang babatuhin ako dito, ha? Now, generally, they say that it's about the father, but my take there, it's more about the siblings. It's not between the father and his children. For me, my takeaway there is it's more about the siblings, because here's one family, okay, and the siblings, they were not united with each other, because every time that there is a gathering, you know, they will just bark at each other. So you know that there is no unity. Some of the siblings thought that the other one is just showing off because he perhaps he was blessed by a better life. So some of the siblings thought that he was just showing off, and watching the movie, you can see that somehow he's just it seems that he's bragging about what we have, what he accomplished in his life, okay, without knowing what is also happening in him. So there's this so it just the movie just goes around that that line, that storyline, until of course the father said that he has cancer, everything, but I will not spoil you what happened in the end. But what's more important there is that in the end, you know, they just started to share their life to each other, the siblings. And it's a picture of unity. When they started to share their life, they saw that, hey, hindi naman pala tayo kailangan lagi mag-away-away. But tuwing kailan tayo magkikita, nag-aaway-away pa tayo. Minsan na nga lang tayo magkita, di ba? Parang nag-aaway pa tayo. But when they started to share their life to each other, they began to know what's really happening in the life of each other. It's a picture of unity. One family, and then all the siblings, and of course their parent, they are united. Diba? Ayaw din naman natin yan. Sa ating family, one family, and then there is this disunity among the siblings, especially for the parents. We don't want it to happen, that there is disunity, quarreling among the siblings. What we want to see is in our family is that we are intact, especially Filipino family. We want to see that our family is intact. We are united, right? The same is true when it comes to the body of Christ. I want us to think that this is not just a church where you attend Sunday after Sunday to hear me out here. No. I want you to see, I want us to have this kind of mindset that we are one family here. We belong to the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ, and here's the local body of Christ where we can experience. When we can experience our Lord, we are one family, one big happy family here in GCF New Valley. And because we are one family, what do we need to do? We need to serve one another using the spiritual gifts. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Different gifts. Okay. Let us, what did he say? Look at what he said there. Let us use them. He didn't say, let us keep them for ourselves. The Apostle Paul said, let us use them for the body of Christ. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our service. Now, here's what it means. Okay, let me just give you the explanation here. Remember that the gifts here is not exhaustive, because you can also read elsewhere, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, Paul is also talking about the spiritual gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, he's also talking about the spiritual gift. And even the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, he's also talking about spiritual gifts. So what he has here is not, it's not exhaustive, but he just gave an example. Okay? Now he said, if prophecy, it means foretelling and forthtelling. Of course, during the time of old, it's foretelling, but they are just speaking what the Lord is saying to them. That's why often in the Old Testament, you will hear the prophets, thus says the Lord. So it's foretelling, it's also forthtelling. Now, in our context today, it means this is what the Word of God is saying to us. That's prophecy. So every time I stand up here, so for the pastors, those who are, they have a gift of preaching and teaching, that's also prophecy, because we are just declaring what the Word of God is saying to us. It is like saying, here's what the Word says to us through His Word. Okay. Now in service, we are all called to serve, but here's what it means. The word service here is that they are very much willing to help, especially on the menial task. There are people who are just they are there to really offer their physical help in the church. And I am praying that many will really offer your help, because we really need you in GCF New Valley. We need you to offer your help. Help us here in GCF New Valley. In teaching, of course, it pertains to the passing on the truth of the gospel. They also help the teachers. They also help to guard the doctrinal purity of the church, to help people to be deeply rooted in God's word. In exhortation, these are the people who likes to give encouragement. That when you are down, there are really people that when you are being with them, that you will be encouraged. But there are also people who will be discouraged. But so you need to approach people who have this gift, especially when you are down. So if you know that you have this gift, then use it. Especially when you see people who are down, then encourage them. Encourage them. For those who contribute, this is about giving. He said, give generously. And indeed, the GCF New Valley is blessed with people who have this gift. And we really thank God for it. If leading is a gift, and not everyone is a leader. So if your gift is leading, then help us in the direction of the church, in discerning the direction that wants for us here in GCF New Valley. Or in Acts of Mercy, this gift is the people who are really sensitive to the needs of others. That's the gift of mercy. So again, this is not comprehensive. The Apostle Paul just gave somehow an example. And you need to discover your gift. And we are here to help you to discover your gift using the Ministry 301 class. We will have that. But more than that, you know how you can discover your gift or gifts that the Lord has given you? Try every ministry. Just become a volunteer to every ministry, and then you will discover where the Lord has really placed you. Right? Try to be an usher. Try in the music ministry. Try to become a Sunday school teacher. Then you will discover your gift or gifts. Now, to give you an illustration of this, I will just show you a movie clip. This is from our workers, and they will just give a testimony, okay, of what it means to serve in this local church in GCF New Valley. Watch this.
Oh, let's clap our hands before the Lord.
Hi, I am Antonia. I am George.
school arts and crafts all over again. But one thing that's different is that I'm not doing it for my school teacher, I'm doing it for my master. I'm not creating for people, I'm creating for my creator.
Typical in ministry, it's up and downs, but it's really fun when you think about it that you're doing this for the Lord, not for anybody else.
Sobrang passion ko siya to communicate with others, like sa teens and sa ibang young pro. As in, nawawala yung pagod ko for the whole day.
Doing kids ministry, I can say, is a privilege, a very humbling experience, and life-changing.
Working behind the scenes humbles my heart. I get to focus on my one true source of inspiration, my God.
I actually asked Kuya Mark first, where do you guys need help? Because I want to serve in the ministry. Then he told me that we need a sound tech. So I started sound tech and learned a lot from it.
Thank God sa binigay niyang strength and wisdom sa akin every GG, and sobrang blessed ako.
kasi andun yung passion ko, andun yung heart to serve.
We will learn more next week. Meron pa po tayong ipapakita pang ibang interview sa ating mga workers. So remember that there is unity in diversity. We are just one body with many gifts. Use your gift or gifts from the Lord to serve God through GCF Nuvali. And in conclusion, let me just share to you what Stephen Cole said. What do you complain about in the church? People tend to complain in their area of giftedness. Gifted teachers complain that the teaching is weak. So those gifted in administration grumble about the church being poorly organized. Those gifted in mercy gripe that the church neglects the shut-ins. Those gifted in evangelism shake their heads at the lack of interest in outreach. And so it goes. The solution, here's the solution, church, of course, is to quit complaining and start serving. Start serving in your area of giftedness so that the church will improve in that area. No one monopolizes all the gifts. That is the very reason why we need each other. Remember, we are same, going to the same place. We need each other. There is unity in diversity. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Indeed, Lord, it's an encouragement from your word that we, your people, that we whom you saved by grace through faith in Christ, you are also sustaining us by your grace and you are gifted us by your grace. So Father, I just pray, Lord God, that we will be convicted to really use our gift, the gift that comes from you by grace, Lord God, that we will use it to serve one another, to serve the body of Christ, to serve through this local church, GCF Nuvali. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.